أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the Day of Judgment. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ When Allah wants good for you, He makes you more knowledgeable of His religion. And I thought in Ramadan we might devote a briefing about the structure of our Sharia. Something I think we are in need of, as you will find after a moment. The ultimate goal of the Sharia is رعاية مصالح الناس في معاشهم ومعادهم. That's the welfare and the interests of the people in this world and in the hereafter. And those interests of the people were categorized into certain groups. Most of the human actions belong in the category of mubah, lawful. But of course we know that there are some issues that are fard, obligatory. Others are mustahab. They are recommended, but they are not obligatory. And then after the mubah, some things are makruh, reprehensible, but not haram. And then other things are haram. And it is the rule in the Islamic Sharia that everything, all activities, are lawful unless specified to be haram. Nowadays we hear about so many things that are branded haram without any basis, without any text to support that. I heard from little children that if you yawn, you have to put your hand in front of your mouth, otherwise it is haram. No, it is not haram. It might be better, but not haram, and things like that. And there is a special brand of Muslims now who are, through sincerity and the keenness on the religion, making so many things haram where they are not haram. Then the halal and the haram are not of the all of the same degree. Iman itself, the faith, was described by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as comprising more than 70 degrees. The highest is La ilaha illallah, and the lowest is to remove dirt from the pathway of people. Also, the harams are not all of the same degree. And Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمِ Describing the Mu'mins, those who avoid the major sins and abominations, except for the minor things. So there is major, minor, and intermediate in the halal and in the haram. When we try to go into life and apply this, you will find that you have to use your mind, as the scholars of the Sharia did. Perhaps the easiest situation is when you are choosing between something that is halal and another that is haram. The choice is clear and there is no difficulty about that. But also in the Sharia, certain matters might be mixed. Certain aspects are good, certain aspects are bad. So you have to find the proportion which is outweighing the other. And you all remember the verse of the Quran, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. Asking you, Prophet, about drink and the gambling, say there are benefits for the people in them, but there are also sin, and the sin is more than the benefits. And when this is so, then you consider it haram and don't do it. Sometimes you have to choose between two halal. They are both halal, but not to the same degree. And we remember through Islamic history that the famous historical scholar Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam was on his way to make a pilgrimage, not the essential first one, but another pilgrimage. And on his way, he met a very poor family. So he balanced both together, and he preferred to give them the money he assigned for the pilgrimage. It was halal to go to pilgrimage, it was halal to give them the money, but he thought there is more need on one side. And so he chose one of two halals. Sometimes the halal is urgent and an emergency. And when you are to choose between a halal, which is an emergency, and a halal where time doesn't matter that much, you choose the urgent halal. I remember during the Bosnian War, when Muslim women were being raped and humiliated, and they suffered hunger and homelessness, etc., a group of good Muslim ladies wanted to give a hand. So they sent a gift. The gift was hijabs, so that the Muslim woman would cover their heads. Of course, it is halal. But there is a more urgent halal, which is food and shelter and clothing. And therefore, you should make your choice upon a clearer vision. Sometimes also, the fiqh would curtail a halal. That is, narrow it. As the famous example of Umar ibn al-Khattab, when the Muslim empire expanded and went into Christian lands, and he heard was one of his generals got married to a Christian woman. So he sent him a letter. By the time you receive this letter, divorce her. And the man was astonished. And he sent to Omar, answering back, is this halal or haram, what I did? And Omar answered him, it is halal. But if you and your likes would go to the foreign countries and find the beautiful women and marry them, then who's going to marry the Muslim women? And so it was by the decree of the Khalifa, considering the general welfare of the Ummah, to curtail the halal, although it was not haram. And this is what we tell our young people who want to propose to marry Christian women. And the young man would go and challenge his parents and say, show me in the Quran that it is haram. And they come to ask us, no, it is not haram. But it is not the best choice from the halal. And as a Muslim, you should care about your children even before you marry and ask the question, are my children going to be Muslims or not? And if you think that the chances of being a Muslim are better with a Muslim mother, then it becomes your duty to ensure the future of your children by marrying a Muslim mother. Sometimes you have to choose between two harams. All things are not flat in the same degree. There is a topography for the fiqh. As a matter of fact, a special section of fiqh is called the fiqh of priorities and of comparisons. Choosing between a haram and a haram, there is a famous story about Ibn Taymiyyah. When the Tatars invaded the Muslim Empire and ruled it, and later on the Tatars converted to Islam but kept some of the amenable habits that they had before, like being brutal to people, mugging people, killing people, drinking. And one day a man called him and said, some Tatars are drinking alcohol, come and advise them and rebuke them for that. And he said, no, please, leave them to drink, because if they are sober, they would go killing people and mugging people. So he chose the less of the two harams. Leave them there, because you are repelling a greater haram by just leaving them to drink. Sometimes also people confuse between what is sunnah and what is fard. We all know that wearing a beard is a sunnah. But when we hear that a special Islamic government made it a fard, and whoever doesn't will be beaten, well, to change the sunnah to a fard is changing the religion of Allah. And we should be aware of that and handle in proper proportion. There is also the confusion of social custom and religion. Some people think that certain things are Islamic just because it was the pattern back home. And we Muslims, especially when we go to other countries, should be able to sift what is really part of the religion and what is only social custom, because a social custom can change and adapt, but religion does not change. And therefore it is not enough to have certain local, regional or national habits and you think they are part of the religion, whereas they are not. There is also the consideration of your ability. Sometimes you see something which is haram and you want to change it without asking the question, am I able to change it or not? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever sees an evil, then change it with your hand. If you cannot, then change it with your tongue. If you cannot, then change it with your heart. And this is the weakest of the faith. For years, the Prophet ﷺ prayed at the Kaaba with the idols still on it. And the Muslims didn't touch them, didn't raise their hands to destroy them, because of the consideration of the matter, am I able or not? Otherwise, if obviously you're not able, then it will be a foolish choice to go and try to do something without being ready for it. And then there is the sunnah of graduality, gradation. Things can change in a gradual way. Not all things are amenable to be suddenly and abruptly changed. And you read in the Quran how drink was prohibited. At the beginning it was don't pray under the influence of alcohol. And then there is good and bad, but the bad is more. And then the Ummah was psychologically prepared to receive the final decree that alcohol is prohibited. And we should also consider the chain of causation, that things happen not due to a direct cause, but due to a series of causes. And therefore, try to consider that. If we want our daughter not to marry a Christian, or our boy not to marry a Christian, and the people come and say, we are helpless, what to do? And I say, what have you been doing in the past 20 years? Because to achieve the results of a boy or a girl full of their Islamic values and loyal to the instructions of Islam, it is not something you start just at the time they want to marry from another religion. You should be prepared from childhood and later on and onwards, and for every age there are the suitable words. And it is a chain of causation until you transform your child to become and grow as a sincere, honest Muslim. But not just like that, you start changing things. A soldier is prepared for the battle before the battle, not during the battle. I say all this because I meet so many examples of very sincere young people, but whose look to the religion is just flat, and they don't have the sense of priority. At one time I was giving a khutbah about something calamitous that was going to happen to the Muslim world, and that was the population conference, which wanted to convince the international community to legalize abortion, to give the sexual rights to our children, etc., etc. And I said, if this goes, then it would be one of the calamities that happened to the Muslim world in all its history. And as I left to the mosque, somebody coming running after me, why are you wearing a necktie? Such flatness, such failure to see that something is very important and another is not important. A scholar tells me that a group of people came and were on the verge of physical fighting, because some of them believed that Taraweeh would be 8 rak'ahs, and the others said, no, it must be 20 rak'ahs. And there was enmity between them on that. And he asked them, what is the ruling of Taraweeh? And they said, Sunnah. And he asked them, what is the ruling of love and the harmony and good relations between Muslims? They said, it is a fard. So he told them, do you see that you are sacrificing the fard for the sake of Sunnah? This has to be assimilated by us as we handle our religion and practice it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our basira and to make us really knowledgeable and understanding of his religion. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سألوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه، ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear fellow Muslims, it is a grave thing to handle Islam with little knowledge. And for that reason, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام advises us, say good or keep silent. But in our present day, we see so many volunteers who go about branding things as halal or haram and probably accusing other people without proper knowledge about the religion. And I think we all are professionals and we learned our profession. It is as mandatory to learn our religion so that we can be real practicing Muslims. We ask Allah to fill our hearts with His love and the love to our fellow Muslim and to make us live and die and live again upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma amla qulubana bimahabbatik wa ajma'na ala ta'atika wa mardatika wal hubb fik wa ahyina wa amitna wa ab'athna ala La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. اللهم تقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا ونسكنا واجعل لك محيانا ومماتنا يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.